Greetings, my friends. I know I usually do the announcements from up there, but I just wanted to be a little closer to y'all this morning. We bring into this sanctuary this morning heavy hearts, broken hearts, a lot of emotions, as our community has been through the horrors of last Monday. I know that many of you have friends, family, neighbors who were affected by the shooting at Covenant School. And so we come together today, and I am deeply grateful to be with the people of God, those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us over live stream. God is with us, and I trust and believe that we will all experience Christ among us and will receive what we need to keep moving forward as the people of God. It is always a privilege to welcome anyone who is here today for the first time. I'm glad that you're here, and we are glad that you're here. And I would like for everyone to take just a moment to sign in, as is our practice every Sunday. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser. And if you're here in the sanctuary, the registration pads are at the center aisle, and if you'll pass those down, and be sure and greet one another today, not just at the passing of the peace, but after the service as well. I have just a few announcements as we gather today. If you have been worshiping with us and have been praying about perhaps becoming officially a member of the church, we will have a new member class that will start the Sunday after Easter on the 16th. It will run for 4 weeks during the Sunday school hour at 9:45 down in McWhorter Hall, and we hope that you will come and join us. Speaking of new members, it is my joy to introduce our newest member of the staff. This is Shannon Baxter, the pastor of Congregational Care and Hospitality, and we wanted to give you just a chance to see his wonderful face and to welcome him officially. Can we welcome Shannon together this morning? Shannon started on Monday. And so he came into our community on a very hard day, and already we have experienced his grace and compassion, as I know you will, in the months and years to come. We are entering into Holy Week, and there are in the bulletin, there's information about our upcoming services for Holy Week. I would invite you to turn to that information and plan to walk through this week together through these services. I do want to highlight a new opportunity on Friday night, Good Friday, at 6 p.m. We are invited to join several other congregations at Gordon Memorial United Methodist Church for a service of the seven last sayings of Jesus. And it promises to be a very powerful worship experience, and I hope you'll join us if you can. Next Sunday, we'll have a sunrise service at 6:30, and then worship at 8:45 and 11. In between, there will not be Sunday school, but there will be an Easter brunch, a time for us to connect and fellowship with each other. During the services, there will be childcare, but not children's church, so parents can plan accordingly, and we look forward to the energy of the children with us in that service. This morning, the service is not just Palm Sunday. This is a service that moves us from the palm branches to Jesus' confrontation with Pilate. One of our children being, in fact, made out of the palm branches a cross, and it's a good symbol of what we experience during this time of worship together. The order of worship will feel a little different because we're going to move through the events of Jesus' last hours together. So we will share communion at the table earlier in the service than normal, so that we gather with the disciples at the table. And then after that, we will hear the story of Jesus before Pilate, and I will share a short meditation on that text. It feels different. And it was different for the disciples. Today feels different for us as well. So let us open our hearts to the Christ who is with us to bring us comfort, hope, and even joy.
Your lesson from the Gospel of John. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." With joyful hope, we raise our voices. Let us welcome and worship the coming Savior. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
From the Gospel of Matthew. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal."
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
As we come together to the table today, we remember and celebrate the meal that Jesus shared with his disciples on that night. Let us hear the story again as told to us in the Gospel according to Matthew.
As Jesus gathered with his disciples,
he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. He gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to the disciples and said to them, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Let us pray. O God of our salvation, as we gather around this table today and in our time, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all glory and honor is yours, now and forever. Amen. And now let us pray together with one voice the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. And so, my friends, now we gather. As the disciples gathered with Jesus, we gather around this table, and Jesus himself is our host. And there is a place for everyone. For everyone who is here and everyone who is not here is welcome at this table. This is not the table of our denomination, of our congregation. It is Christ's table, and we hope that all of you feel welcome to come. If this is your first time to receive communion in our particular congregation, just a few words of instruction to help you. We will be coming down the center aisle, those of you who are here in the middle part. Our choir will be served first. They'll come to the rails, followed by those of you in the transept and balcony. And then feel free to make your way down the center aisle and kneel at the altar rails as you're able. If you'll have your hands open, that will help our servers to know you have yet to be served. Once you've received the elements, you're welcome to stay at the altar rails and pray as long as you would like. All of our elements are gluten-free. If you are unable or would rather not come forward to the rail to receive, I'll be making my way around the sanctuary with the prepackaged elements. Just wave to me as I come by, and I will serve you in your seats. As always, we have in our congregation an opportunity to make a second mile gift as we come to the table. And this month's communion offering goes to a ministry called Shower the People, whose focus is on providing showers and mobile laundry services to those neighbors of ours with the most barriers and the most limited access to these facilities through Davidson County. So we hope you will pray with them and remember them as we come forward to the table today. I know the timing feels different. There's something different about this meal that we share today. It was different then, too. The disciples didn't know what was coming. So let us come to this table, spend time with Jesus, and prepare ourselves to hear the rest of the story as our service goes on today. Lord Christ, you have fed us. You have welcomed us. And now we follow you into the garden as you are arrested and taken before Pilate. Help us to stay close to you, even in your darkest hour. Amen.
Holy God, as we turn to the Scriptures, open our hearts and minds that we might encounter you in the person of Jesus Christ. Be with us as the Word is read and proclaimed, that we might know you more fully and follow you more faithfully. A lesson from the Gospel of John, chapters 18 and 19. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do not ask this on your own. Or do you ask this on your own? Or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is the truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him." He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and the power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. The word of God for the people of God.
Love to have a moment with any of the children who are here in the sanctuary. It was so good to have you at the communion table today. Come on down. And all the singers did such a wonderful job in helping us praise God at the beginning of the service. Welcome, welcome. Thanks to the choir singers. Come on up. I'm so glad to see you all. I'm going to tell you a story this morning. Like some of my stories, it's a pretend story. Once upon a time, there was a little boy named Derek, and he had a best friend named Sally. And one day, he told Sally at school that he was feeling sad because his grandfather was sick. And a couple of days later, Derek left school a little early because his grandfather had died, and he was going to be going to the funeral. And Sally was really sad for her friend Derek. And so she was sitting at the kitchen table that night with her mom and her dad, and she said, "I'm really sad for Derek, and I don't know what to do." And her mom said, "You know, one thing we can do is we can pray for Derek. We can pray that Derek will feel God's love and God's comfort, even when he's really, really sad." And then her dad said, "After we pray for Derek, let's think about some things we can do. What can we do to help Derek feel better?" And Sally thought, and she said, "Maybe I could invite him to come over and play next Saturday." And her mom said, "Yeah, that would really cheer Derek up. That would be great." And then Sally said, "Maybe I could draw him a picture and write a card just to say I'm thinking about you. We could put it in the mail and he could get it as a letter." And her parents said, "Oh, that's a really good idea." And then she said, "Maybe one of you could make some oatmeal chocolate chip cookies for next Saturday when Derek comes, because those are his favorite cookies." And they all felt better because they had something they could do to make Derek feel better. Let's pray together. Gracious God, when we're sad or when other people are sad, we thank you so much for friends who can hug us and be with us and help us to feel like you're with us and not alone. We also pray you'll help us know what we can do to make things better if we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for all that you do to make me feel better. If you 3, 4, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Stacy. Thank you all so much for listening. Bye. One of the reasons I love Palm Sunday is because traditionally our children's choirs sing on Palm Sunday. And I couldn't see their faces because I was sitting behind them here, but I could see the faces of the parents. And you've never seen such glow with these wonderful, loving, proud parents watching their children sing. And it's been a hard week for parents. It's been a hard week for all of us, for Nashville, for our country, for the world, who have been weeping with us. We've all had our hearts broken by the horror and the events that took place on Monday. And I know that some of you in this congregation had family members, neighbors, and friends who died on Monday. And I hope you feel the love and care of this congregation and others in the community surrounding you and holding you and praying for God's comfort. I was so overwhelmed on Monday, and I know you were too. And then I went to bed, and I woke up Tuesday, and I was angry. I was grieving with the families, and I was angry. I was angry that this has happened again in our country. I was angry that this happened in Nashville and that we are now on that long list of cities where schools have been violated and children have died. And I prayed for something to do. And I brought all of that grief and anger and brokenness to the scripture today. Because it's early in the week that I start looking at the text and praying over it and studying it in Bible study with others. And I came really close to changing the scripture reading today. Because I wasn't so sure that this conversation between Jesus and Pilate would be what I needed today or what you needed today. this moment when Jesus gets condemned to death. This moment when the empire seems to win. This moment of defeat. And I wondered, what is in this story for us in this moment that we're in as a community? Because with one set of eyes, it looks like a defeat for Jesus. It looks like the powers that be have gotten the best of Jesus, that he's just a political football being thrown back and forth between Pilate and the chief priests. The way John tells the story, Pilate goes back and forth between talking with Jesus in his headquarters and going out to address the religious authorities. When John uses the word the Jews in this text, he means those chief priests, the religious authorities, not all of the Jews. But these are the people in power. We look at Pilate, and he is an instrument of the Roman Empire. His purpose there is to keep order, to keep the Jews in line, because they have a habit of rebelling and agitating and causing problems. He doesn't respect their religion. He doesn't care about this whole thing that's in front of him. He just wants to maintain order. The chief priests also want to maintain order. They want to get rid of Jesus because the crowds are beginning to listen to Jesus and follow him, and he's been challenging them in the temple, in their home place, and causing trouble for them, and they just want to get rid of them. So we see Pilate and the chief priests in this sort of unholy alliance, with the main purpose being to keep the status quo as it is, because in the status quo, they're the ones with the power. And they want to keep their power. And Jesus is a threat to their power. So here is Jesus standing in front of Pilate. And it may look to some eyes like Jesus is the powerless one. Pilate says to him, "So you are a king." And he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would arm themselves and rise up and fight for me." And there's part of me that wants to say, then let him do it. Let him fight back. Fight back, Jesus. Protect yourself. Don't you know that they're getting ready to condemn you? You know that you're innocent. You know that you could avoid this suffering. And later in the conversation, Pilate says, "Don't you know that I have the power here? I have the power to release you or to crucify you." And with one pair of eyes, it looks like he does. Because at the end of the story, he condemns Jesus to death. And we know that he follows through. So looking at this story through those eyes, it looks like Jesus is awfully passive. That he's powerless. That he's helpless. And at the mercy of the powers that be. And that they get the best of him. But we don't look at this story through those eyes. We see something different going on. We see there are two different kingdoms being talked about here. We see that ultimately it is not Jesus who is on trial. It is Pilate who is on trial. It is the powers of the world that are on trial. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Pilate is talking about the kingdoms of this world, the powers of this world, the power to dominate, the powers of violence, the powers that use fear and anger to keep themselves in power, the power to conquer and kill. And Jesus is talking about his kingdom, the kingdom of God, the power of vulnerable love, the power of mercy and grace, the power of the Holy Spirit. And Pilate doesn't get it, and the chief priests don't get it, but we see it. And we know the kind of kingdom Jesus is talking about. We know that early in his ministry, Before he started his public ministry, he went into the wilderness for 40 days, and he was tempted by the devil. And one of those temptations was to take power in the world, to conquer. You can have all the kingdoms of the world and control them and do with them as you wish. And Jesus says, no, thank you. That is not the kind of king or Messiah I have come to be. So we have seen him reject that kind of power. And when Pilate says, don't you know I have the power here? Jesus says, you have no power over me. Because Jesus is choosing for himself to give himself away, to take on a suffering that is not his own in order to save us, to save the world. His power is one that will not be defeated. He will persist in vulnerable love no matter where it takes him. And the powers that be don't see it, and they don't get it. But we see it, don't we? I know it's easy in the wake of these recent events, in the depth of the grief and the shock and the pain, to feel hopeless and helpless, to feel like there's nothing we can do to change the powers of the world or to make the world more like the kingdom of God. But that's our calling. And my friends, I believe in the kingdom of God, in God's beloved community. It is not meant for us to be carrying around AR-15s. In the beloved community, in the community of God, our children should be safe when they go to school. That is the beloved community, the kingdom we are continuously called toward. And it's not the powers of this world that will get us there. It is the power of persistent love that is not passive, that does not throw up its hands and give up, that demonstrates its power in a way that is not violent, that is not coercive, but is the most powerful force in all the world for change. Late last night, our bus pulled into Gordon United Methodist Church after a group of us had gone on the pilgrimage to Montgomery and Selma and Birmingham. We visited those sites in Anniston where the bus was bombed in hopes to stop what the Freedom Riders were trying to do. Where the church on 16th Street was bombed in Birmingham, taking the lives of four precious little girls in an effort to keep segregation in place. Where the marchers in Selma advocating for voting rights were shot at and knocked down and knocked over. And yet they did not give in to hopelessness and helplessness. They persisted in nonviolent love. They gathered together and organized, and they gathered around because they believed in the beloved community, in the kingdom of God that is being built even now. And so, my friends, that is our calling. To see this confrontation between Pilate and Jesus not as a defeat, but as the powers of the world being put on trial. And they will fail. Because we know the story. We see the real power that is at work. We will walk through this week and it will look like empire has won. It will look like the light of the world has been extinguished. On Saturday, we will sit in that darkness and wait because we know that on Sunday morning, the tomb will be empty. And the one who took on our suffering undeserved will rise again. And so, my friends, it is with that hope that we continue to march forward because we, even on Good Friday, are Easter people. Amen.
Would you rise in body or in spirit as we put words to our faith and say together the Apostles' Creed, number 881 in your hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your spoken and your silent prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, you can fill out a gray card. They're located in the pew racks in front of you. And you can place those in the offering plates as they're passed in a few moments. This morning we remember Lee White and Webb White and their family, who are mourning the loss of their father, Thomas Anthony White, who passed away on March 26th. Services were held yesterday, April 1st, at Harpeth Hall's funeral home. Thomas is also survived by Lee's wife, Alexandra White, and Webb's wife, Leah London, and son, Jack White, as well as his ex-wife and friend, India Weber. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, after the joyful shouts of Hosanna, we hardly have words for what came next. You gave yourself over to something unspeakable, to powers and principalities that sought death and destruction. And yet, through a power greater than death, through the power of your love, that unspeakable event was transformed into reconciliation, into redemption, into new life. Lord Jesus, something unspeakable has happened right here in our community. Lives have been cut short and innocence has been lost. And we have been confronted with those same powers and principalities that have sought death and destruction over and over again. And we hardly have words for what has happened. We feel so powerless in the face of it. So, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would send your Spirit to help us in our weakness. When we don't even know how or what to pray, send your Spirit to pray in us and for us. Make prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. Lord Jesus, send your Spirit to comfort all who mourn. Especially this day, we lift up to you the Covenant School community and the families of Evelyn, Hallie, William, Cynthia, Mike, Catherine, and Audrey. Bind up their broken hearts and bring healing in the weeks and months ahead. Lord Jesus, send your Spirit to all who are afraid this day. May they know the power of your presence and the assurance of your abiding love. Send your Spirit to all who are weary. May they be upheld and strengthened by your grace. Send your spirit to all who are angry. May their anger be channeled into the work of justice and righteousness. Lord Jesus, send your spirit to transform our world. And send us also. Grant us vision and grant us courage, that through the power of your love, we might work for reconciliation and redemption and new life. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We ask all of this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude for all that God has done for us. Those of you joining online are invited to give via the options on the screen, while here in the sanctuary we will pass the offering plates down the rows. May we give to the God who has been so generous with us.
send us forth into the world with an image drawn by one of the children at the 8:45 service. It's a picture of three crosses on a hill. It says, God is with us. Jesus died for us. You live on. Amen.